This is the Cambridge International Certificate in Financial English, Sample Test 2006. Look at the information for candidates on the front of your question paper. This paper requires you to listen to a selection of recorded material and answer the accompanying questions. There are four parts to this test. You will hear each part twice. There will be a pause before each part to allow you to look through the questions and other pauses to let you think about your answers. At the end of every pause, you will hear this sound. You should write your answers in the spaces provided on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end to transfer your answers to the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. You must ask any questions now, as you will not be allowed to speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. Part one. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, mark one letter, A, B or C, for the correct answer. There are two questions for each extract. You will hear each extract twice. Extract 1. You will hear a financial analyst talking on a radio program. You now have 15 seconds to look at the questions before you listen.
Any cynic, and you can spot them from afar, they call themselves realists, will tell you that there is no such thing as a true merger. There is the pursuer and the pursued, the predator and the prey. To put it politely, there's always a dominant partner in every corporate deal, even if it's styled as a merger. In today's programme, we identify Europe's top takeover targets. Quantitative analysis will lead us to a consideration of capital performance, cash reserves and debt. The qualitative aspect is essentially the word on the street. The merger and acquisitions departments of Europe's banking community are rubbing their hands with glee at the prospect of some major cross-border deals at last. They are, of course, hoping to drum up some business. And they may just well be right. But one thing is certain. Europe needs some cross-border activity. Scaling up is a necessity if Europe's big businesses are to compete with their US counterparts on a global basis.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Any cynic, and you can spot them from afar, they call themselves realists, will tell you that there is no such thing as a true merger. There is the pursuer and the pursued, the predator and the prey. To put it politely, there's always a dominant partner in every corporate deal, even if it's styled as a merger. In today's programme, we identify Europe's top takeover targets. Quantitative analysis will lead us to a consideration of capital performance, cash reserves and debt. The qualitative aspect is essentially the word on the street. The merger and acquisitions departments of Europe's banking community are rubbing their hands with glee at the prospect of some major cross-border deals at last. They are, of course, hoping to drum up some business. And they may just well be right. But one thing is certain. Europe needs some cross-border activity. Scaling up is a necessity if Europe's big businesses are to compete with their US counterparts on a global basis.
Extract 2. You will hear an accountant asking an IT consultant for advice about software packages. You now have 15 seconds to look at the questions before you listen.
So for me, setting up as an accountant, an existing software package that's been tailored to my particular needs would be a good investment, wouldn't it?
Well, I'd advise against it. Of course, specifying and designing the programme takes time, but this may or may not be a problem for you. The major drawback, though, is that while the original product goes through a series of trials to ensure that it does the job it's setting out to do, this isn't the case with the tailored elements of the package. Something else to consider is that you probably won't get specific training materials with the tailored elements, though I understand you're sufficiently computer literate to cope with that.
But surely if you pay enough...
You're assuming that the producer is willing to modify the software to meet your specific requirements, when actually it's in their interest to sell a standard product.
Mm.
It isn't so much a question of the profit margin on the tailored software. They have to consider the problems of ensuring that future upgrades work properly in your system, because they're trying to reduce the number of versions they support, not increase them.
Now you will hear the recording again.
So, for me, setting up as an accountant, an existing software package that's been tailored to my particular needs would be a good investment, wouldn't it?
Well, I'd advise against it. Of course, specifying and designing the programme takes time, but this may or may not be a problem for you. The major drawback, though, is that while the original product goes through a series of trials to ensure that it does the job it's setting out to do, this isn't the case with the tailored elements of the package. Something else to consider is that you probably won't get specific training materials with the tailored elements, though I understand you're sufficiently computer literate to cope with that.
But surely if you pay enough...
You're assuming that the producer is willing to modify the software to meet your specific requirements, when actually it's in their interest to sell a standard product.
Mm.
It isn't so much a question of the profit margin on the tailored software. They have to consider the problems of ensuring that future upgrades work properly in your system, because they're trying to reduce the number of versions they support, not increase them.
Extract 3. You will hear an accountant giving advice to a group of people who are thinking of starting small businesses. You now have 15 seconds to look at the questions before you listen.
Now, you'll almost certainly need the services of an accountant before you start your business. So this is a priority from the outset. So how do you go about identifying one? You'll need a firm which has experience of the sector in which you're going to be operating. Their website may tell you this, but it may not tell you much about their reputation. And you need to check this out. The institution that is backing you financially will certainly have a view, so it's crucial to ask them. And you may be able to confirm that view through other third parties, such as former clients. I'd say it's well worth investing time in finding the right firm, and this may involve getting in touch with half a dozen, and maybe making an appointment with, say, 3 of them. My advice would be to approach firms which are small in size, like the one you're thinking of setting up. They'll be more likely to understand the issues and problems you face. Tell them what you're planning to do, and ask for their comments on your business plan, if you've got one. You'll need to discuss fees. And remember, find out who at the firm you'll be dealing with, because it may not be the person you're talking to, and that could make all the difference.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Now you'll almost certainly need the services of an accountant before you start your business. So this is a priority from the outset. So how do you go about identifying one? You'll need a firm which has experience of the sector in which you're going to be operating. Their website may tell you this, but it may not tell you much about their reputation. And you need to check this out. The institution that is backing you financially will certainly have a view, so it's crucial to ask them. And you may be able to confirm that view through other third parties, such as former clients. I'd say it's well worth investing time in finding the right firm, and this may involve getting in touch with half a dozen, and maybe making an appointment with, say, three of them. My advice would be to approach firms which are small in size, like the one you're thinking of setting up. They'll be more likely to understand the issues and problems you face. Tell them what you're planning to do, and ask for their comments on your business plan, if you've got one. You'll need to discuss fees. And remember, find out who at the firm you'll be dealing with, because it may not be the person you're talking to, and that could make all the difference.
That is the end of part one.